So welcome to the 2017 First Parish Auction Sermon. It was won last year by Jim Gish. It was highly contested, but he won it on behalf of the men. For those of you who do not know, every year we have a wonderful fundraising event, and I donate a sermon topic. I met with the men this last March, and we discussed their ideas of what might be a good sermon topic. Considering the state of affairs in this country, they chose to have me share my thoughts about history and truth. They had a lot of very interesting takes on the topic, wide-ranging, amazing. The conversation was incredible, actually. And I wish I could be able to share my thoughts and their ideas on all of it. But it's already kind of heavy, and I couldn't do it all. So pardon me for my artistic license. There is a saying that the men shared, and they all nodded in agreement about what I'd like to begin with. When I first heard it many years ago, it made perfect sense to me. It's attributed to Napoleon Bonaparte. History is written by the winners. How many people have heard that? Yeah, I knew it. In fact, what Napoleon actually said was something along the lines of, "History is the version of past events that people have decided to agree upon." A bit of a difference there. But to me, both of the statements seem slightly true. Well, let me clarify. History, I believe, is written by the winners. And it's generalized truth, but Napoleon, what he said and what his words actually framed were a fact. There is a difference between truth and fact. Living life and conveying the facts is like playing a game of telephone. How many of you played telephone? I figured. Remember that game where someone tells you something, they whisper it in your ear, and then you tell the next person, and so on and so forth, and you keep going until the last person gets up and claims the truth. And it almost is never what was actually started, unless the game is really small and contains like three or four people. But the truth has evolved. We all laugh because there's something funny in the fact that what was told in the beginning, which the first person then shares, is never really quite the same. Some people try to convey what they believe is factual. They'll say it verbatim. Some people change the language a little bit to add their own little spin to it, make it their own truth, so to speak. And then there are those folks who just change the facts because they want to for whatever reason. Personal gain, let's say. In the game, not so much. It's really usually to make people laugh or to, like, you know, have some kind of drama around it all. The game of telephone is kind of like history, replete with both stories and facts interspersed. When I began thinking about history, I began in the place of the personal. I have a question for you, and it's a dangerous question, so please be careful. How many of us have chosen to omit parts of our daily activities to our partners? Look at you. You are not telling the truth. You see, I know because that's what we do as human beings. We omit. This habit of omission may be because we do not think our spouse is all that interested in all the facts of our day. It may be because we do not think that a piece of information is at all interesting or relevant. Or maybe, just maybe, we don't want to share something that has taken place. As we share the story of our daily experience, a blank piece of paper, that may say something in itself. As we share the story of our daily experience, as a way to connect others, we may literally edit the story to fit the telling. Do you know what I'm saying? So we sit down, we have a conversation with our partner, and we kind of like play around with our day a little bit, maybe even the order of events. There's nothing wrong with doing this. It's how we story tell. It tends to be what we do as human beings and as storytellers, which I believe we all are. And we also just kind of create a story for the audience that we're speaking with. The fact is, we are all storytellers, and at times, we are all members of an audience. There's an important difference between being a good storyteller and an accurate storyteller. What was it, just or me, or do you remember begging your mother or father, aunts or uncles, to tell you their stories? Did anybody like want to just sit around and hear the stories of your family? I personally thought that my mother and my aunt's stories were far better than fairy tales. They were like the best stories on the planet. They told me stories about their family history, the Depression, the huge house fire that they had growing up. They shared that one of my aunts, they love this story particularly, known to be especially frugal, that's saying it pleasantly, tried to charge the neighbors a nickel to stand by and watch the fire. It's true. I heard stories about women going to work during the war, and my mother working in a knife factory and getting blown off the machine by a surge of electricity. I heard stories about my mothers and aunts all together working at the AMP bakery, and how my eldest aunt, the pretty one, was the supervisor, and all of her workers, my mothers and aunts, they had 11 in their family, decided to take her down a peg or two one day by all calling for a break at the same time. Break, 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 break. My aunt had to, basically give it up. So apparently my Aunt Anne had to learn how to quickly open a donut box, pick up 12 donuts with 10 figures, and stick them in the box and close it, to quite tragic results. And my aunt stood around watching. I was certain that my mother at that point in my life was Lucille Ball. I can only imagine that there were a lot of hardships omitted from the storytelling that my mother and my aunts shared, about times that they had to pick up coal on the road after the wagon had gone up. Just lots of hard stories. Their youngest brother, Billy, had Down syndrome, and in that day it was difficult. So there's a lot of stories I'm sure I didn't hear. They picked and they chose what I and my cousins would carry forward into our family history. At times, these are the decisions that a parent must make. I later found out pieces of stories after my parents died that my aunt decided to share with me. She believed that I was mature enough to understand the implications, and it changed my understanding of my family's history. Yet knowing the entire story brought so much clarity into my young life. I remember when I used to think that history was set in stone, that it was unchangeable. Anybody still believe that? Yeah, no. But history does change, and it changes when facts and truths are uncovered. History is like science in that way. With each new discovery, history evolves a bit. Whether it is our daily activities, our familial history, or our ever-evolving history of this planet. When thinking about history, I have to admit that I'm very concerned about the practice that has become commonplace in our political arena, the decrying of fake news. If you don't like something, just claim that it's fake, or maybe even lie. Even if we're looking at a fact straight in our face, or the truth, this practice of decrying and saying that something is fake news casts the essence of doubt on everything, which will ultimately unravel the fabric of facts, history, and what I believe might be society. At one point in history, news was the responsible uncovering and sharing of facts. Does everybody remember that? Right? Wasn't that long ago? Unfortunately, somewhere along the line, news became entertainment, reality TV, to raise ratings and advertising income. The biggest drama one time. If we do not like the news, does this mean that we undermine the system of uncovering and sharing facts? I'm starting to wonder about that. How hurtful is it to a society that a political system, citizens, or internet trolls, whichever country they come from, decide to plant seeds and lies and pass them on as truth to divide the united in these states? It is part of my belief system that uncovering, sharing the facts and truth are critical to humanity's very survival. Let's think about it. For example, climate change and the varied positions on the topic. Will we ever agree on one set of findings or truths? Any consensus on that? There's no way. We won't agree. However, we need to admit to an understanding that climate change is dangerous. and get with the program of saving our planet, regardless of what our individual truths might be. Many species that are going extinct every day, we can't just ignore that and say, oh, that's not true. Someone who hold different truths might say, wrong, I don't believe that. That's not true. Some would say, yeah, that is true. Those who believe that corporations and profits far outweigh the exploitation of the planet and doing the right thing tend to think that climate change isn't real because it's not advantageous for them to believe that it's fact. There is something important in recording history and doing what is right or what is wrong. History is the ultimate judge of what is right and what is wrong, right? Of course, I often think about theology and all of this right and wrong stuff and the impact that stories from the Bible, the New Testament, the Quran have on communities. I think about the folks who truly believe that evolution is not a thing. They believe this, that our planet is only 6,000 years old. They believe this. Those same people who believe that when the world comes to an end, that the chosen will go to heaven. The rest and the unconverted or unredeemable will go to hell, or what I have affectionately called Vegas. Just in case you're worried about ending up in Vegas, Unitarian Universalists do not believe in hell. Oh, and no offense intended towards Vegas. The key that religion brings to the table is this is knowing, something in the knowing of what is right and what is wrong. It is based on our held beliefs, our held truths, and based on one's upbringing, education, and family history. This concept of right and wrong may be different for each one of us. And that is what I believe we're seeing in our world today. So how do we come to a consensus about right and wrong, about fact and fiction? That is the hard part. It's probably why we have 10 commandments, various world religions, and scriptures, a constitution, and an endless evolving set of laws. I love what Confucius explained, that the superior man understands what is right. The inferior man understands what will sell. Ain't that the truth? In all of this, history is a story. And indeed, as Tolstoy argued, it often spins tales of genius or villainy. Think about how we approach the past. Hitler is the only person that the modern West will allow into hell. The mythical villain of the 20th and 21st century, and yet there are a whole host of brutal leaders that history passes over or ignores. For example, Stalin's brutality reached record levels, but this is more delicately handled by our history books and hasn't made its way into popular consciousness in quite the same way that Hitler has. Historians attempt to uncover the narratives of our lives from the political and sociological perspective. In the process, they inevitably shape these stories. We all shape the stories. This can be a dangerous tool for propagandists, though, of course, the true historian has an ethical responsibility and commitment to approaching as closely to the truth as possible. It is a personal commitment. So how do we make a commitment to embrace the truth no matter how hard it might be? It is clear that history and truth are not synonymous, right? Am I right about that? Okay. Those who came before us spun yarns, tying together facts and fancy into stories. Maybe we can say that history and our framework of reality is just loosely tied together facts filled with interconnecting myth and legend or theology. We have been taught to accept history as truth. Real, irrefutable, and yet is it? If we tie all the facts back to the game of telephone, one has to wonder what our history really is. Especially during these times of immediate communication via social media and the internet. How many people see the stories that fly by that are later proven to be falsehoods or incomplete or incorrect? I cannot keep track of the amount of misinformation on the web. It's astonishing. Let us remember that the internet was the chosen weapon during the 2016 election to spread just that misinformation, while internet trolls sat in the background and still endeavor to divide this country with their fringe rhetoric on all sides. So you've got people out there spreading rhetoric on the right, spreading rhetoric on the left, and causing this huge division. What do we know is true? Who even knows what's true about Russian interference or who to trust with the facts? With the advent of the internet, I wonder how our future historians will ever be able to track the truth. Distilling facts from fiction, evolving moment by moment on the World Wide Web, who knows? Imagine digging through all that to find facts. Who would even imagine some of the facts being confirmed as truth, like this dossier? Or how about the shooter this week in Texas? A fake, within moments after they identified the shooter, a fake Facebook page was created after the shooting attributed to the gunman, who was photoshopped into a 2016 Hillary Clinton t-shirt. And the Facebook page claimed that he was a member of Antifa. In minutes, the story unfolded of a radical left-wing liberal who went on a shooting rampage in a school. None of it was fact. None of it. Of course, the cynic in me wonders if our forebears were any better at being able to uncover and hold onto the facts and realizing the truth. Social media does make it a bit harder to decipher the facts because it happens so quickly. As a child, I was taught to tell and seek the truth. I'm sure that I shared with you the words that inspired me to become a seeker. You will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. It's from the New Testament, John 8:32. In context, Jesus was at the temple speaking to the people and challenged those who gathered. He said, "If you continue in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free." The people of the temple challenged the prophet by asserting that they were not slaves, so how could Jesus set them free? Didn't make sense to them. Very good question for the literal-minded. What Jesus was asking of them was to trust him, and through their trust, they would find that they were what they were looking for, and that truth about a loving God would set them free. Instead, they said to him, he must be a Samaritan, which was kind of the worst thing you could be, and that he had a demon within him. And so he tried to talk to them, he tried to reason with them, and then they picked up stones to stone him, and he fled. This tends to be the response when you challenge folks about what they believe to be true. They may not necessarily pick stones up, but they will definitely defend their history, their identity, their facts, even if they're not true, and they become angry and confrontational. Think about how militant we would become if our beliefs were challenged. Most people become militant about their facts, even if their facts are no longer relevant, real, or supported. The world is round. Elon Musk is still trying to prove that to groups of people. Times change, and the way that we look at our history changes. Current events can color our perspective of the past. We saw this with the statues of the Confederate heroes that were torn down over this last year, right? Those statues put up in good faith and loving understanding. But facts about who those heroes actually were have made them corruptibly human and far less hero-like. The same is true of the Me Too movement. How many women were just disregarded when they tried to share their truth about unwanted advances, and how now finally people are beginning to listen and to believe that these things have and do happen in our world. I wonder how history will remember these times of change that we are currently in, these times of challenge. I wonder if the changes will stick. In some way, I do not trust history to be brutally honest and expect some soft peddling at some point, sanitized history for the young, delicate minds, but who will educate those who are to come and lead? Remembering the old adage initially shared by George Santayana, those who do not know history are doomed to repeat it. When I want the hard facts, the real truth, I often turn to poetry as a way to understand specific times or circumstances. I think that is why the wisdom teachings and the world's religious scriptures have lived beyond their times, because poetry is different. The poet is freer to express herself. She is not confined by politics, though that can frequently and does enter into her discourse. She speaks the language of feeling, but not solely this. Poetry is a powerful blend of feeling and rational thought, of sentiment and reason. It looks at the moment through the lens of the person caught in it. It reaches people more powerfully than history does, perhaps because it doesn't claim to serve the truth, but it comes closer to the truth of what we are, and we are far more irrational than our carefully connected archives of war would suggest. My vote goes to the poet as the greatest truth teller, mostly because one can't tell the story of our lives without acknowledging that we all live more in our imaginations, playing with the constructs of fact and fiction, than we do in the real world. After thinking about history over the last week, I believe that we should contemplate history with the same muscles that we do science. We are looking at a theory about our past until proven otherwise. It is our work to improve the accuracy of our history and the integrity of our heroes by educating ourselves about the various flavors of truth held in the stories that we read and hear, and refusing to propagate an extension of the truth for entertainment or to prove that we are on the winning side. It is our work to look into the validity of the information that we forward in media such as Twitter or Facebook, knowing the source from which our news stems and how reliable that news is that we are forwarding is. It is our work to share the facts and understand the difference between what we believe is our truth and what is fact, even when those facts are hard to stomach or taint the perfect story that we wish that we could tell about our country, about our family, about our lives. We know that as humans, we are all fallible and always have been, that we make mistakes, and that we hopefully, most of us, are trying to do our utmost with regard to fact-sharing, truth-telling, honesty, and conveying messages, teachings, and what we believe, know with integrity. But that does not secure for us that everyone lives by the same standard of uprightness. There are those who lie to secure themselves in history with fortune and legacy. What can we do with such a pervasive feeling of doubt and distrust in our world? How do we believe in another person? To believe in the integrity of anything, one must build a sense of trust. I have heard from some of you at different times that having and giving trust is dangerous in our day and age. How many people believe that? It's okay, you can raise your hands if you believe it. Because honestly, I do believe that people are trying to take advantage. I do believe it. And I agree with you. But without a sense and a construct of trust, I'm not sure how we will regain and maintain our humanity. How can we build a sense of trust or a history based on facts that is truth-filled? It takes constant commitment and work. It begins with you and I, and it begins with the basics of being reliable, which manifests by doing what you say, honoring your promises, being consistent. About being honest is all about telling the truth. If you do lie and you realized, oops, that might have not been true, go ahead and admit it. You have more integrity admitting it than you do if you don't. Speak from your heart, always from your heart. Being open, which is really important. It begins with volunteering information, not omitting important details. If there are things that you're not willing to share, do not allude or evade. Just say so. Just say, I'm not willing to go there right now. Own that. You see, because it begins with each one of us living lives of integrity and taking an active stance and calling out the disregard that we have seen in our world for the truth, for the facts. If we do not expect exemplary behavior from our media, from our elected officials, from our police and our leaders, we will get exactly what we expect. We have to be willing to call one another out over and over again. And we need to be able to call them out to a higher level of honesty and a deeper level of participation. We must realize and accept that no one is perfect, but with work that we can all be maybe just a little bit better. We can climb out of that pit that humanity has fallen into over the years, and we need to help each other out of that pit. We can't just do it by climbing on the backs of others. If we want our history to be written based on the facts, to be better and more accurate, written by and for all the people, and not just the winners, then we each need to trust one another. Take the lead when we can. Share our story thoughtfully, with integrity, and with honesty. That is what we need to do. I invite us to take a few moments in silent reflection, meditation, and prayer. For this we pray, may it be so. Amen.